to a new year as we jump full bore into this transitional process. And in just a few minutes, we're going to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to that, it's right after the book of Proverbs. And so that's where you'll find that in your Bible. Just a couple things I want to mention this morning as we get used to this whole schedule of me being here. Because of where we live and the distance, I'm not going to drive down every day, but I can come pretty much any day. So if there's a particular day that you would like to meet, just phone me or email me, let me know, and we'll set that up. I will always put a schedule, and we'll get it into the bulletin. And as Stephanie and I work some things out, there will be at least two days, often 3 days, that I'm going to be down here during the week. And so we'll let you know so that you'll know that those days are fixed. I'm going to be here at the office that day. But if the best time that works for you is not one of those days, please give me a call. And I would be more than happy to rearrange some things so that I can be here and meet with you. It's going to be something that through the next few weeks, I hope to have an opportunity to share some time with each one of you so that I can hear your story, you can hear a little bit about mine for whatever interest level you have there, and we can see where God's taking us in this whole process of transition in this church. And so please take note of that. If you haven't given Stephanie your email yet, please do that. I will be sending out a little bit of a letter every week, giving you updates on information that's going, my schedule and those kinds of things. And so that's the easiest way for you to keep up, or a time when you know Stephanie or I are here at the office, feel free to call in and get that information as well. This last year has been a fast year. 2016 just kind of came and disappeared. It's hard to believe that it's 2017, and it's going to take a while. Fortunately, most of the stuff that we do now is online, and we don't have to write checks like we used to. So hopefully by the time we have to write some of the checks, we get used to it being 2017, and we don't have a backdated check from a year ago that we give to somebody. But this year has also been a year of blessings, and because I'm new here, I get to do things that, maybe you haven't done before, you probably have, but I'd like to start this morning by having three or four people just share a blessing from this last year, because one of the pieces of worship is that we praise the God that we worship, that we tell Him we love Him, and that we sing His praises. And so I sent that out in an email to try and kind of prepare you for it, and hopefully a few people are primed. I haven't asked anybody in particular to do this, and so if you have any items of praise or blessing that happened within this last year, if two or three or four people would share that, that would be a great way to start our talking time together. So who's the first one, always the hardest? Absolutely. Absolutely.
I praise God that I'm alive.
Amen.
When you go through really hard treatments, cancer, sometimes you have days where you wonder if your head is in heaven, but God has kept me here for a purpose.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you, Ruth. Appreciate it. Someone else. I know it's hard to top that, but go ahead.
I'm not even going to try to top it.
Okay, good.
I'm going to let God talk. And that's Proverbs 16:3. We have a promise there, and I have seen this promise lived out so many times in 2016. And that is, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish.
Amen. Pretty simple and straightforward, and yet not as easy to do as sometimes we would like it to be. And we're going to talk about that this morning. How do we make that kind of commitment? How do we do that? Anyone else? Well, for us, there have been many things that God has blessed us with in this past year. But one of them was, and one of the interesting parts about the ministry that I'm in is that when I start a ministry in a particular church, in this transitional ministry, I know it's only going to be for a short time. And so as I begin to wind down one ministry, of course you're wondering where the next one is going to be. And so that happened in Edmonton, and finished there at the end of July. And when I had started in Edmonton a year previously, there'd been 6 or 7 churches that needed transition. And the district chose that one, and that's where I went. I finished at the end of July, and there was zero. There was nothing. And it went on and on and on. And I know some of you have gone through unemployment, but when, you know, you got a month or two, and all of a sudden it's 3, and it's moving forward, and there's nothing on the horizon. And we were talking about a particular church that was maybe going to do transition, but there were some things as to why it might not be the best situation for them. And all of a sudden, things happened very quickly here at Mirror Lake. And as I met with the board, and as we've talked since, and as I've chatted with a number of you, it just seemed like God, again, had this whole situation in plan under the time. And honestly, even though there were people, by the time we were getting to the end of our third month, well, people are going like, aren't you getting concerned? And we said, no. We committed to God that this was the ministry that he had given us to be in. He has a place for us, and we just need to wait for the right place to be here. And so I know one of the praise items that I have is I know that I'm in the right place of ministry for this time, and that God's got a journey for us to go on together. And yes, I'm here to help you and to help you work through this process. But one of the amazing things is that I grow in that situation as well. There's always new things about God and about my own relationship with him that I learn in each of these processes. So I'm excited about 2017 and what God has for us. There's a story about a little boy who was went to his dad one day and said, Dad, he said, there were 3 frogs that were sitting on a branch over a pond. And one of the frogs decided to jump into the pond. How many frogs were on the branch? And Dad said, 2. The little boy said, no. He said, there were 3 frogs on the branch, and one decided to jump into the pond. How many frogs were on the branch? And Dad said, oh, I get it. He said, there weren't any, because once one jumped in, the rest jumped in. And the little boy said, no. I said, one frog decided to jump in. There were still 3 frogs on the branch, because he only decided, he never actually did anything about it. Anybody ever had one of those New Year's resolutions where you decided to do something and really nothing changed? You know, it's amazing how often that story shows up in this book. People decide to do something, but they don't really do what it is they've decided to do because they don't take those action steps that are necessary after a mental decision. So I want us to read together this morning Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 13 verses. It's just as a backdrop to what we're going to talk about this morning, talking about coming into a new year and what that may mean for us. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning reading at verse 1. There is a time for everything. There is a time for everything. And a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. And sometimes doctors don't know when that is, even if they tell people like Grandma Ruth that they're going to die pretty soon, and 20 years later, they're still waiting. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. That far God's word this morning. What an amazing, amazing passage. What an amazing word that we have. One of the things that we've seen over the years is as this book has fallen into greater and greater disrepute by many people, that even some who claim to be followers of God who are in churches talk about this book as a word about God. That somehow this book can guide us to this ethereal understanding of God and who He is and what He's there for. Now, in that time, we can't really, if we read this book and it's just a word about God, then it doesn't do us a whole lot of good. Because what that means is that it's people's opinions about God. What this book actually is a word from God. And that's very, very different. It's very different if a newspaper reporter writes about the Queen of England versus her going on the radio or television and giving a speech and telling us what she actually thinks or believes or feels. This is not a word about God. This is a word from God. And the Scripture tells us that those who wrote this word were moved by the Holy Spirit to write. And so Solomon, as he wrote these words, was moved by the Spirit of God. And it's a reminder to us that God has His perfect timing, even when we don't understand it. One of the things we're going to be doing during this process is we're going to be looking back at the history of Muir Lake Alliance Church. One of the dangers of doing transition is that I say the wrong name of the church because I've just been somewhere else. So if I do that, please excuse me. I'm going to try and make sure that I always use the right name, but sometimes I mess it up. And so we're going to look at the history of the church. And we're going to see that God's timing was there. Even through the difficult things, even through the bad things, even through the hard things, as well as the good things and the joyful things and the praise items that we go through. God has a time. His timing for Keith's life, for Keith and Lacey and their family, is part of His plan for them and for this church. That He had a season of ministry here. Things were done here that changed people's lives because the Spirit worked through Him and worked through the church during that time. And now God has moved them in a different direction and is now moving the church in a new direction. And some of those things that were happening during Keith's time here will continue and grow, and some of them will change. Simply because that's the kind of world we live in and that's the kind of God that we have. If you read through this book, you never see things stay exactly the same year after year, century after century. His church changes and grows. The nation of Israel changed and grew, went through difficult times, went through great times, always different. God's telling us that He has a plan for us all, and a cycle for everything, what we are planned to do in accordance with His will. If we go back to the Easy Button. Many of you have seen this ad from Staples, an Easy Button. Next slide. Wouldn't it be nice if life had an Easy Button? When we came up with a difficult situation, we just pushed the button. Next slide. But you know what? Really, we do. But here's my question. When life comes in those difficult situations and we're tempted to push an easy button, is there a plan? Well, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, God tells us, yes, there is a plan. There is a time for all things. And so how does that happen? How does that work? If we go to plan, not that it's easy from the point of view as we think easy and hard, but really it is easy because we know and understand that God has a plan. So no matter what's happening, God's not surprised. I was at prayer retreat, and I think I might have mentioned this before. I was at prayer retreat, and our speaker was from down in the United States. And we were at prayer retreat from Monday through a Thursday, and on the Tuesday was the election down in the U.S. And of course, we know how disconcerting that election was and how much conflict that caused. And so somebody had asked him, and he answered the question from the front, how do you feel about what's going on in the election and Donald Trump and everything like that? And he said, well, I checked with God this morning and he didn't seem to be worried. He said, he told me it was all under control, that he had a plan even for this. So he said, it is what it is. God's given me a ministry and a mission. I'm going to continue on that, and God will take care of the rest of this stuff out there. And so that was a reminder to us all that there is a God who has everything under his control. And so what I'm going to encourage you with this morning is that three things that as we look forward to the new year that I'm going to encourage you to take steps in over this next month to help you individually and to help us as a church be together for it. And really, some of these things are what we're going to be doing together as a church. The first one is that we're going to, and I encourage you to discover your purpose. So that's my question to you. What is your purpose in this world? What's your purpose? Why are you here? There are people who think we're here just accidentally and we're here to take up space, that it doesn't really matter what we do because we're going to live, we're going to die, and that's it. That's all there is. But we know by this word from God that this life is a precursor to eternity. And in this life, we make some decisions that are going to affect us for all eternity. Do we spend eternity with God or separated from God? The words heaven and hell are words that a lot of people don't like to hear these days. But this word from God tells us that they're real and that we have decisions to make and that we have the absolute amazing privilege of sharing the truth about Jesus Christ, who he is, his birth, which we just celebrated, his death and resurrection, which we celebrate at Easter in just a few months. How crucial that is for each and every person. And we get to share that good news with people around us. It's an amazing privilege. So I just want to bring a couple of verses to your attention that help us to understand a little bit about our purpose in life. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 and 8. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord in life, in death, in whatever. So our purpose is connected to the purposes of God. Jesus, if you read through the Gospels, says something over and over and over and over again to a wide variety of people. And he simply says this. He says, follow me. Follow me. What did he mean when he said that? Well, I encourage you to read the Gospels and to do a study on that sometime. And we may do a little bit of that together on a Sunday morning. But follow me really meant to live with him, to live like he lived, to speak like he spoke, to do the things that he did, to follow him, to live for him so that we would be prepared for the time when we die. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20 says this, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, you were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So again, that whole thing is that we are God's. And what we do gives a message to other people, and is a part of our worship on how we do things, even the way that we treat ourselves in our own bodies. Getting proper rest, proper nourishment, taking care of ourselves physically, knowing that we have a God who is a God who heals, and trusting Him for some of that. Dealing with the sicknesses and illnesses and the things that He teaches us through them. Even our bodies are part of our worship of God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose. That verse makes us a little bit uncomfortable sometimes when we take it out of context, especially the passage that says, the part that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. People have taken that and separated that from the rest of Scripture and says, oh, okay, well, that means that our salvation is dependent on how we live and what we do. That there are various levels of Christianity and of holiness, and they're dependent on us. That we have to work it out, that we have to do it. No, that's not what this passage is talking about. Working out the salvation is not working for salvation. It's working out salvation. It's living with our hearts and lives tuned into God, tuned into the Holy Spirit. Not so that we gain more salvation or better salvation, but we live that way because of our salvation, and we want to share that with as many people as possible, and we want them to see what God is doing in our lives and doing through us so that they might enter that into as well. We have a God who wants to work in us and through us, and that's one of our purposes, is to show that to the world around us. 1 Corinthians 10, 31 and 32, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Now, this passage, the context for this passage is on people who were complaining about some who were eating meat that was offered to idols and a whole variety of things that were, some people were saying this is good, some people saying no, we have freedom. And Paul here, again, is simply saying, no, our purpose in life is to show God in all we do. So there may be times when someone says, oh, those idols are so powerful, and we eat meat offered to them to show that they have absolutely no power. There may be a time when someone is struggling with that in their life because they've been addicted to those idols. And to see someone else who claims to be a Christian eating them is going to throw them off track at the present time in their life. And so we choose not to eat. See, that's what Paul is talking about here. Our purpose is that everything we do, even eating and drinking, is to glorify God. How do we do that? Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I love this verse. This has become one of my favorite verses over the last number of years. One of my favorite verses. We are God's handiwork. God has created you and you and you and you and the others who are part of the body of Christ. He's created each of us in a special way, a unique way, to do good works, to do things that help other people. If you look at the life and ministry of Jesus, he was constantly helping other people through his teaching, through his actions. He's created good works for us to do. But here's the amazing part. We don't have to get up each morning and think, okay, what is there in my day? Where is there in my day a place where I can do something good? And we have to sit and figure it out and think about it and go, okay, there's an opportunity and just struggle with that on a daily basis. No. He says God's prepared them in advance for us to do. What that simply tells us is that we're going to have situations that occur in our lives on a daily basis, And we simply need to have the mind of the Spirit at work in our lives and have our hearts and our minds open to the opportunity. And we need to step into them and do good. Some of them are going to be hard. Some of them are going to be easy. Some of them are going to be long. Some of them are going to be short. I remember one day we were going through the line in a grocery store. And my wife is one of those people that has a very positive attitude towards life. And she was going through, we were going through the line, and she said to the cashiers, she greeted her somehow in a very cheerful way. And the cashier just had a very glum look on her face. And my wife just did something very simple. She just said, "Are you okay?" She didn't have to do that. She was a customer in a grocery store going through a checkout counter. What does she care about the person in behind? And I'm sure that that lady had had dozens, if not hundreds of people just go through the line where she had the same look on her face and everybody paid for their groceries and kept on going. But when my wife said, "Are you okay?" she just broke down and started crying. Because someone took the time to notice her and to see her as a person and not as a clerk in a grocery store. Folks, this isn't rocket science. It doesn't say God prepared something really difficult and only super Christians are going to be able to do it. He said God prepared in advance good works for you to do. One of my fears is that there's going to come a time when I stand before the Lord when I'm going to see a list of all the things I missed, and it's going to break my heart. Because I was so focused on what I wanted to do instead of what he wanted me to do. But if my purpose is to serve him in everything I do, whether that's work or grocery shopping or an activity at church, what's it all about? See, Jesus' call was follow me. If you build your life on the wrong foundation, it doesn't matter how magnificent the structure is, it will crumble and fall. We've seen people, especially in the day and age which we live through media, we've seen people whose lives from the outside look magnificent. I mean, they got it all. They've got wealth, they've got fame, they've got power, they've got everything. And we've seen it fall and crumble because it was built on the foundation of them instead of on the foundation of God. See, our primary purpose is not to be successful or have a wonderful career. Our purpose is not to be happy in earthly accomplishments or earn a lot of money. Although any of those things may happen. Those still may happen. There's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33, reminds us of this. So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" "What shall we wear?" For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. So it's not that God's saying that food and clothes and finances are not important, but God knows we need them. So since he knows we need them, and he's a God who's promised to supply our needs, why are we worrying about it? Why are we worrying about it? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So our purpose is to follow this Jesus, to be open to what he has for us through his Spirit. When we do that, when we understand that purpose, it shifts the way that we look at other things in life. So the first thing to do is to discover our purpose. Secondly, we want each of us to establish your priorities. Establish your priorities. You may have a firm grasp on your real purpose. You may understand your life belongs to God and that you are to live for him rather than self. But now you need to understand God's specific plan for you. And so there's three questions that are important for us to ask that too often in the church we just don't ask. First question is, what are my gifts? What are my gifts? Spiritual gifts. And again, we're going to be talking about this through the transitional process. But this book, God in His Word, speaks to us about the gifts that He has given us. 1 Corinthians, Romans, and other places talk about gifts. Gifts are those things where God has given us a gift that enables us to do certain things in a way that's beyond the ordinary. And it's not a situation where He gives us a gift or gifts and nothing ever changes, because as we see through Scripture, and as I've seen through my own life and the lives of many others, God often gives us a gift for a specific season and a specific time. One of the things that's interesting for me is that as I've gone through ministry, there's certain of my gifts that have always been at the top. And as I've gone through the years, those same gifts, whenever I do a gift survey or anything in that nature, they keep coming up and they've been affirmed by many people. But as I began this transitional ministry, after a couple of years, I did a spiritual inventory, and the gift of administration, which had always been one of my bottom three gifts, all of a sudden was really close to the top. And my wife went, "You did something wrong in the survey." Because gift of administration has always been near the top for her. She's a planner and an organizer extraordinaire. And she knows I'm not. And so when that showed up, it was like, really? And yet, as I looked at this transition ministry, a lot of it has to do with administration, with planning and organizing and putting things together and saying, now we do this, now we do that, now we go here. And I actually find it kind of fun and easy. And that's weird. But that's because we have a God who gives us gifts for the tasks that He has for us. I mean, none of you would be very happy if I came to the first board meeting, and I can imagine the look on Ashley's face or some of the other board meetings, guys, and you know, if we came to the first board meeting and said, okay, guys, we're in the transitional process, so what do you want to do? You know, you're supposed to be here to help us. Like, don't you know where we start, what we want to do? And I go, no, I'm just going to come and show up and preach, and we'll just do whatever you want to do. I mean, that wouldn't work very well. And so, but God gives us gifts. And if you don't know what your gifts are, and we are going to talk about this as we go through this process, there are ways to find that out and to affirm that in our lives. Most of us have suspicions, but ask that question. Do you know what they are? Secondly, what are my specific talents and interests that God has put into my life? These are different than gifts. These are the things that just normally and naturally have always been there. For me, part of it has been teaching. I've always been able to teach very well and have always sort of moved into that area, even as a high school student. It's something that I've just normally done. So what does that mean for the places that I'm in now? Other people have different kinds of talents and interests. So what has God put into your life? What are those things that you can use? It's different than the gifts, but they may have some correlation or they may not. And then thirdly, how can I use these to fulfill His purpose for me in this world? How can I use these to fulfill His purpose for me in this world? So how do I use the gifts and the talents and the interests that God has given me? See, God's never going to ask us to perform totally outside of these areas, where He's going to say, no, your interests, your talents, your gifts, all those things that I've wired into you and given you, they don't matter. I'm going to ask you to do something different. It's not the way God acts. He's not someone who is trying to trick us or to fool us. See, the reason these questions are important is that you may be doing good things, but you may not be doing the things that God has in mind for you. And so what it means is establishing priorities. Priorities have to be set. And when the choice is between what is good and what is best, that's when you have to set priorities. Very often, as Christians, we have a lot of opportunities in front of us. And there are good things that we can do. But it might not be the best thing for this situation. Remember Paul's missionary journeys. One of the things we see about Paul's missionary journeys is that he always asked God very clearly and specifically where he should go and where his ministry should take place next. Now, any place that Paul went, it would have been a good thing for him to go and preach the gospel there. It would not have been evil. It would not have been immoral. It would not have been sacrilegious. There would have been nothing wrong with him preaching the gospel anywhere. But he didn't want what was good. He wanted what was best. And so that's one of the things I think sometimes in the church, and I've had it happen in my own life, where we let the good and sometimes the urgent get in the way of the best. And that's why we need priorities. That's why we need God-guided priorities, not just interest priorities. So if we understand our purpose, we build those priorities according to them based on time spent with Him in prayer, then we're heading in the right direction. And so the third thing that we need to do then is to make a plan. Now, one of the problems is, and I'm guilty of that as anybody else, is too often I make a plan, but it stays between my ears. It never goes anywhere from there. Because I think about these things and what I should do and how I should do it, and yep, that would be great. I really believe that that's what God wants me to do, but I don't do anything about it. And so I'm going to make a couple of suggestions to you. We can understand the purpose, set priorities, but if you have no plan to make it happen, for most of us, it won't happen. Now, there are a few people whom God has wired in such a way that what they think is what they will do. Most of us aren't like that. I've met very few people like that. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 20 say this: Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. One of the more powerful tools in life can be this right here. A pen or a pencil, or a tablet or a laptop, if that's your preferred method of writing something down. I'm still old school enough that often if I'm doing it in a process where I'm thinking, if I have to think about what I'm typing, it's just going to destroy my thought process. But I can actually write and think at the same time. I can't type and think at the same time. It's too hard. So I use this and sit and write it down. As you're working through the purposes and priorities in your life, make a plan. Put your priorities down on paper and make a plan how you're going to fill out those priorities. How are you going to make them come true? If one of your priorities is going to be your prayer life, how are you going to make that come true? I've done this myself, and I've had conversations with multitudes of people. Yeah, I want to pray more. Someone talks to me about my statement, or somebody, or I ask somebody about their statement, so a month later, how's it going? Oh, nothing's changed. Why? Because they never made a plan. They never actually said, this is how I'm going to do it. There's something about writing it down. And even if once you have it written down, post it up, there was something I wanted to change in my life a number of years ago. And I actually wrote it down and pasted it on the mirror where I shaved every morning. And after a couple or three mornings, it was starting to make me mad. Because it was reminding me how badly I was doing at this. But step by step, piece by piece, it began to change. Because every time I saw that reminder, it drove me back to praying about it, saying, okay, God, how do I do that today? Here's the plan that I have. Here's what I want to do. Here's how I messed it up. I'm going to change that for tomorrow. And slowly, it began to change. But if I hadn't written that down and stuck it up in the mirror, I don't know if it would have ever changed. Make sure there is enough time for important things in your life, so write them down and make sure that they're there. So imagine that the Spirit spoke to you to encourage someone, to bake a pie, to sing a song, to teach a class, to witness to a neighbor, to write a story. How are you going to do that? How are you going to accomplish that? So consider this. If the Holy Spirit spoke out loud to you and this is what he said, how would you react? So this is the Spirit speaking. In front of you is the new year, 2017. It is an unspoiled page in your book of time. Here's your chance at the art of living. I am giving you the opportunity to practice what you have learned about life during the last 12 months and however many years. All that you sought and didn't find is hidden in me, waiting for you to search it out, but with more determination. All the good that you tried for and didn't achieve is mine to grant when you have fewer conflicting desires. All that you dreamed but didn't dare to do, all that you hoped but did not will, all the faith that you claimed but did not have, these slumber lightly, waiting to be awakened by the touch of a strong purpose. This is your opportunity to renew your allegiance to him who said, "Behold, I make all things new." Do you believe God can do that this morning? Do you believe he wants to use you in that way? If you believe that, and if you look at those things, let's go to the next slide. And one more. See, deciding is not enough. You can be like the tree, like the frog in the story at the beginning, where you decide to do this, but nothing changes. So I'm going to encourage you to do this. And don't do it half-heartedly. Make sure that you mean it. Find two people to tell that you want to do this. Might be your spouse, but only if you have the kind of relationship where your spouse can go, "Well, how you doing?" And you don't get mad at him or her. Some spouses have that kind of relationship. Some spouses, it's maybe not the best place to start. And never mind, I won't go there. Find two people to tell that you want to do this. Have them pray for you and ask you each week throughout the month of January how you're doing. So whether that's by an email or it's a conversation here on Sunday morning or whether it's a coffee time that you agree to meet. See, here's one of the things. You don't want to do this on your own. You guys, some of your home groups, you may have enough courage to say, you know what, all of us in the home group want to do this, and our home group is going to be our accountability place. And we're going to start each of our home group sessions by saying, so how are we doing this week? Where are you in the process? Do you understand your purpose? Have you set some priorities? Are you starting to write it out? Are you working on that? See, this book, this word from God, is not about theory. It's not about ideas. Although those are all in there, it's about putting the truth that's in here into action. If we don't do something, then what's the point? If we learn and never change, Have we actually learned? If we gain knowledge and it doesn't change us, then what's the point of the knowledge? This book is about change and growth. I remember a title of a book a number of years ago, and it was simply, God loves you just the way you are. And then in brackets after that was, but he loves you way too much to leave you that way. God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. And so God wants to bring about change in your life and change in this church. It may be in small, subtle ways. It may be in some very big ways. I don't know where God's taking us in all of this yet. I don't know where God's taking you, but he does. If you have the courage, find two people, tell them you want to do this, have them pray for you, and then don't just give them permission, but ask them, please ask me once a week, how am I doing? How am I doing? And then as God begins to work in our lives, we can begin to see some amazing things happen. Now, there is a warning that goes with this. Satan doesn't like us doing this kind of stuff. And so the beginning of the process and the middle of the process may be very hard. There may be things that happen in your life, in your work, in your family, in the church that makes us want to go, oh, forget it. I'm just going to go back to the way it was. I mean, that was hard, but at least I could do it. Now it's really hard. So there is that warning. There's no easy button for this one, except for the knowledge that God has a plan and he is a good God and gracious God who wants us to grow, who wants us to grow in his spirit, in his grace, and give us the privilege of sharing that with people around us. So here's my question for the morning. 2017 is in front of us. What's your plan? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy and for your grace, for your love. Thank you, God, that you do have a plan for us. Your word tells us in the book of Romans that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. That proves beyond a shadow of a doubt how much you love us. Lord, you didn't ask us to change first so that you could die for someone who was working at the right things, but Lord, you died for us while we were yet sinners, and you want to bring about holiness and joy and peace into our lives in amazing ways. So Lord, I pray that through your Spirit you would guide us and that you would give us courage to follow you in new ways through this year. We thank you, Lord, for what's going to happen in the days that are ahead. We know that both the good things and the difficult things will bring growth and our opportunities to honor your name, bless your name, and to make your name known to the world around us. And for everything that happens, we'll be careful to give you the honor and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to play this video now.